This book as a father by Abigail and Pharaoh is a book from the man of Animal. One of the first books that was written regarding that man. We like to make a general introduction of that book and a general exposition about the personality of the Imam. So when we read the book, we know who we are talking about. Ibn Abi Zayd. Abu Zayd is a Kunya. So Ibn Abi Zayd. What is the name of Ibn Abi Zayd? Sina. Abu Zayd is a Kunya. So what is the name of Ibn Abi Zayd? What is the name of Abu Zayd? See now. Ibn Abi Zayd and Qayrawan. Okay, where is Qayrawan? So if you read a book by Ibn Abi Zayd and Qayrawan, they ask you, Ibn Abi Zayd and Qayrawan, what's his name? Abu Zayd and Qayrawan, what's his name? Where is Qayrawan? So we should not be like this. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan, he himself is Abu Muhammad, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan. His name is Abdullah. He is Abdullah. His kunya is Abu Muhammad. Ibn Abi Zayd, his name is what? His kunya is what? And Abu Zayd himself, Al-Qayrawan, his name is Abdullah. So Ibn Abi Zayd Al-Qayrawan is Abdullah Ibn Al-Qayrawan. Imam Abdullah is Al-Qayrawan. So his father Al-Qayrawan is the one who is what? Abu Zayd. If you say Ibn Abi Zayd, that is Ibn Abi Rahman, Abu Zayd. For his own name is what? And his kunya is what? Abu Zayd. Imam Al-Dhahabi, Rahimahullah. I hope that the women can hear us clearly. Imam Al-Dhahabi, Rahimahullah, his book, Siyadu Wa'ala Al-Bala. When he wrote about Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan, Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Abi Rahman, said Al-Imam al-Allam, Sahabi, when he mentioned this Imam, he says he is what? Al-Imam al-Allam. What does it mean when a person is referred to as Imam? Is referred to as Imam, and I think I should mention this now. The common practice with us now, people of Sunnah, may Allah keep us firm upon it. When one of us becomes an Imam of the masjid, we begin to attach Imam to his name like a title. So the brother is Abdullah, he is the Imam of Masjid Umar. So begin to say, Imam Abdullah, Imam Abdullah. This is an innovation. It was not there before. As I said, Dalek. And I don't know why is it that the people of Sunnah will be the ones starting an innovation. Let us bring proofs for it after that. Our Imam of Masajid used to call themselves or used to be referred to as Imam Fulan. Why? Just because he's the Imam of the night. It was not like that. If anyone says it's like that, don't talk too much. Just give us asa. hadith of Hassan from companion Tabi'u Atba'u Tabi. They did not choose to ascribe this word Imam. The word Imam is a big word, very big, a leader of the people. Even those who gave khutbah on the day of Jummah, they are referred to as what? Khatib. It's Khatib. 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 So, but that is even in general reference. If you call his name, our brother, Abu Razak, or Abu Fulan, Razak ibn Abu Rahman, he is the Imam, you can describe it like that. You can say he is the Imam of so. But when you want to refer to him, just like you use Sheikh or Doctor, you use Imam like that. You only use that for the great scholars of Islam, those who attain the biggest limits of knowledge in terms of every branch or in terms of the particular branch that Allah gave them first feet upon, such that when they make a statement, they are followed by others. That is the meaning. If a person like Al-Imam al-Albani, do you know that for him to be referred to as Imam, we have to look for the statements of scholars who refer to Al-Albani as Imam? It is not something you just acquire. There are very many learned people in our times. So how many of them have been referred to as Imam? Only three. Three. And amongst them were Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz. Sheikh Abdullah Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn. And then Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih. And then Ali Imam ibn Al-Imam. One of the scholars compiled a whole book on those amongst the scholars who refer to Imam al-Albani as Imam, a whole. So Imam. Let us not bastardize this word. It's a very deep word. And it is a lack of, a ascription regarding knowledge. If you must use it as a title to understand what I'm saying. If you must use it as a title for a person, it is a title of knowledge. Imam Fulan. A man is a man of Nazirul. When you want to call himself, you say Imam Fulan. Don't use that word for yourself. You are too small for it. Then, if they call you like that, tell the people that you are not. Respect yourself. Then, respect yourself. Unfortunately, we the people of the Sunnah, we are the ones, Imam Tabari. Our early Muslims did not used to use that word like that. Let us restrict it. Even the PhD holder, say Dr. Fulan, Abi. Okay. Those ones who did not study to PhD, but they were honored with the PhD. Will they not say it's honorary? They respect their PhD so much that they say it's honorary. So we will not be using that word Imam. Let us respect the people who are referred to as Imam. They are the biggest scholars of Islam who got to the peak in terms of the specific aspect of knowledge that they are specializing in as a science of Hadith. Like the Sufiul Quran or Sunnah itself, like Al-Imam Ahmad Sina. Imam Ahmad, Imam Ahli Sunnah Al Jama'ah, because he was Imam in all the branches of knowledge and is standing firm upon the Sunnah. People followed Ahmad. So he became Imam Sunnah, Imam Ahli Sunnah Sina. When you say Imam, it's a big word. It's a big word. Let us not standardize Imam. Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, when he referred to Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayr, he said, Al-Imam. Al-Allama is the one who is an authority in the field. Alama, Al Qudwa Sina, Al Qudwa. Someone others are following. He's an exemplar upon the Sunnah. Al Faqih, well grounded scholar of faith. Ali Ahl Madrid, the scholar of the people of North Africa. Ali Ahl Madrid. You see this title. Al Imam Al Madrid, Al Qudwa Al Faqih, Ali Ahl Madrid. Who are they referring to? Ibn Abi Zayd al-Fayyad. Let us understand his level in terms of knowledge. I saw a tahqiq, a checking and verification of this book we are reading, the Fatima of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Fayyad, into this book, Al-Risala. I saw the checking and verification of one of the scholars. And the Muqaddima was written by Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. Sheikh Bakr was a very learned person. You don't refer to him as Imam. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. Did you find anybody calling him Imam? He would say, I don't call him. Sheikh Saleh al Husayn is still in Medina. He teaches to the masjid of the Masjid. And he is Imam of the masjid. You won't hear anybody calling him Imam Saleh. Despite his knowledge. Sheikh Suleiman Ruhayl is from among the A'imma who give khutbah in Masjid Quba in Medina. You not hear them say Imam Suleiman. Emma Bawuka, yes, don't spoil this name, Imam. The big word. So let's remove it. If people have printed business cards introducing themselves as Imam Kaza Kaza, remove the Imam from your name. May Allah protect us. So Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan, his status is as described. Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah, he has the taqdeem, he has an introductory note to that book. And he described this Imam, and I found his note worthy of reading. So our reading today will be based on those notes by who Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. The reading we shall read to understand and know the personality of the Imam Ibn Abi Zayd and Fayrawan will be as well documented by Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. The Imam is Abu Muhammad, Abdullah Ibn Abu Muhammad, so Abu Zayd. So he is also Abu Zayd. His father Abu Rahman was Abu Zayd. So he has ascriptions. Two of them was popularly ascribed to. They would say An-Nafzawi, An-Nafzawi, or An-Nafazi, An-Nafazi, or An-Nafzawi. So he is Ibn Abi Zayd al-Fayrawani, or Fayrawani. Ibn Abi Zayd An-Nafazi, or An-Nafzawi. Ibn Abi Zayd An-Nafzawi, An-Nafzawi. Refers is an ascription to one of the tribes in South Africa. It's from amongst the Berbers, the Barabia. It's from amongst the Berbers of North Africa. Now, the Zayd and Fayr. And Fayrwani, Fayrwani is the name of the city, an ascription to Fayrwani. Fayrwani is in present day Tunisia. So, Fayrwan is in present-day Tunisia. So, we don't know Fayrwan. That city was built by a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. So, let's move on. It was built by a companion of the Prophet. Because they had an experience. When they preached Islam, the people accepted Islam. When they leave, the people return to Sheikh. They said, what is it that we preach Islam? People will accept. When we leave them and go to another tribe, they will go back to Sheikh again. Let us build a city here. We'll be living here with them. So they look for a place that was planted, that has a lot of trees, where they can plant, they can really habit, and raise a civilization, and they earmarked the place, and that area was given back to us. What? That was how Kairouan was established. It was established for Islam. Kairouan was established for Islam. And many of the scholars who have spoken about that city, I'm sure would have heard about that incident. That when they established the city, that city of Kairouan, a companion occupied Muhammad, occupied by Munafiq, he went to announce, because they found that there are a lot of snakes, a lot of reptiles, a lot of things like this that will not make them be able to live comfortably. He announced to them, Ya Ahlatiya, all people living in this valley, we are the companions of the Prophet. We are taking this place for a place of residence. All of you should go out of this place. By the next morning, they saw snakes, reptiles, lions, walking out of the city. You would have heard this narration. Many of the scholars are dying. If you go to Mu'jamul Huda by Al-Imam Yaqut al-Shamil, you found this book. Oh, it's long ago. That is how the city of Kairouan was established. Please go back and read about how the city of Kairouan was. So from amongst the scholars that Allah made to grow in that city is this Imam Abdullah Ibn Abdul-Rahman Ibn Abi Zayd and Nakazi al-Qayrawan Rahimahullah. Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd said, Kana min wujuhi ahli al-ilm, Kana min wujuhi ahli al-ilm wa rufa'ahim. كان من وجوعي من وجوعي العلم. المقدمة not in our copy. It's not in our copy we have with us. Some of us have that copy with the taqdeem of Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. You can just read it. I'll just be reading it and explain it. It made my job easy. We have that copy. I saw a brother with a copy of something when I was talking. You have that copy of Sheikh Bakr. I'll be reading from the sixth page now. Kana min wujuhi ahli al-ilm. You find it there. That is the fourth line. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd said, Kana min wujuhi ahli al-ilm. It was from amongst the leaders. Was from amongst the leaders, amongst the people of knowledge, wa rufa'ahum, and from amongst those who are eminent, noble of knowledge. Ma'niyya bil-luzum al-sunnati wal-athar. Ma'niyya, he paid a lot of attention to luzum al-sunnah. Ma'niyya bil-luzum al-sunnati wal-athar. He paid attention to sticking to what? Sunnah and what? Al-athar. Sunnah and Asa, that means Sunnah and Hadith. Someone was asking this morning, what is the meaning of Al-Asa? Al-Asa is Hadith, Sunnah. Al-Asa is what? Hadith. And what? Sunnah. But when they are used together, such as this, the Luzum is Sunnah. By Sunnah, they meant the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by Asa, they meant the practice of the companions and the Ahlul Bayt. We understand. When they say Ma'niyan bi'uzum al-sunnati wal-athar, he paid attention to sticking to the sunnah and what? Wal-athar, the ways of companions. رضي الله عنه. وَالرَّدِّ عَلَىٰ أَحْلِ الْأَحْوَارِ. He was also in the forefront to write books and preach against the people of Ahwar. وَالْلِدَىٰ. The people of desire and innovation. The people of what? Desire and what? One freedom and innovation. He wrote a lot of books against them. From that is Ar-Raddu ala al-Qadariyya. He wrote a Radd on the Qadariyya. Qadariyya, those who reject Qadar. They say there is no Qadar. Qadara إن هذه الليلة الفيرواني قلت رجل رحمه الله. He wrote other rules against the people of innovation. And he was well known to preach, to establish the sunnah, and refute the people of innovation. Sheikh Bakr said, Rahimahullah. He is also Rahimahullah. Sheikh Bakr is not alive. He just died a few years ago. He is also Rahimahullah. Rahimahullah. And Walihaza, because of his level of knowledge and his sticking to the Sunnah, Wali'ilmi, because of his knowledge, Wawari'i, and his fear of Allah, and Wawari'i. When a person fears Allah so much that even things that are lawful, he will not do it, so that he will not fall into things that are not lawful. Something is lawful, but behind it is something that is not lawful. You will not do even that one that is near something that can be unlawful. So that doing it does not make you now fall into something that is that is referred to as what? As worry. Is wali'ilmihi, because of his knowledge, wa wari'i, and his conscious fear of Allah, wa nubu'ihi bil arhati al-hal, and his obtaining or attaining a high level of al-mazhad al-malik, in the mazhab of al-imam al-malik, la fiyama fi kitabihi al-hujjah, especially considering his wondrous book. He has a book, very wondrous, Al-Nawadir wa Ziyadat. He titled the book, Al-Nawadir wa Ziyadat, on Fiqh Maliki. Al-Nawadir wa Ziyadat was written by Ibn Abi Zayd al-Maliki. Some of those who have written about Ibn Abi Zayd al-Maliki, they say this book became the book that if you want to give fatwa in North Africa, you have to read the book. You'll be reading from the book. Someone asks you, what is so and so? You have to bring the fatwa from Al-Nawadi al-Ziyadat by Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan. People follow his body. People follow his fatwa. Rahimahullah. It has a book, Al-Nawadi al-Ziyadat. Rahimahullah. So because of all of this, Kana yulaqabu bi Malik al-Sabir. He used to be given the laqab Al-Malik, our Malik, John Malik. We know who Malik was, so Imam Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Medina. Someone was asking, why is it that they call Imam Malik Imam Dar al-Hijra? Because he was the Imam of Medina in his time. And Medina is Dar al-Hijra. Because he was Imam of Medina, he's called Imam Dar al-Hijra. So we are still talking about al-Imam ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan. He says, وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ إِمَامَةُ الْمَالِكِيَةِ حَصَلَتْ لَهُ إِمَامَةُ الْمَالِكِيَةِ He became, he attained the leadership of those who are upon the mazhab of al-Imam al-Malik came to him. You know what that means? In the whole region in North Africa, become the Imam of your mother. It must have been very, very nice. So people, when they speak, they refer to our Sheikh Abdulaziz. Just like these days, we refer to Sheikh Abdulaziz in Dubai. Rahimahullah. He said, I didn't know anything, but Sheikh Mubarak said, Sheikh Mubarak, or Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni. That is why we refer to them as Imam. Because the rest of us are following him. So Ibn Abi Zayd became an Imam, the rest of the people followed him. Upon the people of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Sheikh Bakr said, وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ إِمَامَةُ الْمَالِكِيَةِ بَلِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ Not just Imam of Malikiya. He became the Imam of the people of Sunnah. كَافَةً فِي الْمَغْرِبِ فِي الزَّمَانِ Completely in Muslim, in North Africa, he's a man, in his time. So in his time, in the entirety of Muslim, North Africa, he became the Imam amongst the people of Sunni. رحمه الله الإمام عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن القيرواني، وكان عالي الإسناد، علو الإسناد من دقلانس وبري إلدانس ونس. That's why if you want to learn, look for those ones that are elderly, learn from them. كان عالي الإسناد. His إسناد is عالي. Meaning that he learned from elders among the scholars. رحمه الله. معنيا بلقاء الشيوخ. He paid attention to meeting scholars. These days, some of our brothers will just learn Nahu and some, and they sit down like that, start reading books. The keys to that book you are reading, you don't have it. Our Wallahi la ilaha illallah. If you study a book with a learned person, if you read it on your own, it is like 50 times the one you read on your own. Because you read some things, you will take it for granted. They will say, pay attention. There's a fa'idah here. There's a point of benefit. There's a point of benefit. The reason why he said this is this. The reason why he said this is this. What he said here is not correct. Because others among the scholars said another thing. This is their evidence. So the view is their own view, not his own. There are many examples like that. So if you read it on your own, you will cram it like that. You know it like that. You have also known and crammed error along with it. You will not know where the author was right, where the author was there. But the one who had learned the book and had read the book many times, he has also learned it from the scholars, where perhaps there are errors in it. If you learn it from him, he will tell you the errors of the book. If not for time, I would have given us a few examples. Something you read, you think, that is how it is. Why? Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said, that is how it is. Rahimahullah. Someone with a little bit of just a bigger, wider knowledge, say, I know what Ibn Rajab said is not correct. There are those among the scholars who say like, and their view is most correct. Even Sheikh Fulan among the scholars in our present time, Sheikh Adan among the scholars in our present time, they affirm what I have said, for example. But if you had read it, then you don't go on like that. So the error in the book, the correctness in the book, you carry it along. He might have even used some expressions that require explanation. If you read it, then you will not know. It is wallahi better to study books with scholars. There is nothing like it. And from my own personal experience, Allahu Akbar, if you read a book with them 5 times, you get 5 different experiences. I tell you this. The experiences in one reading will be different from another experience in another reading. Because different things will be coming to their mind regarding those things they will tell you about. So Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, despite his level of knowledge, kana ma'niya bi liqa'i shuyukhi wal-akhdhi anhum. Kana ma'niya bimadha bi liqa'i shuyukhi wal-akhdhi anhum. He paid attention to meeting scholars and taking from them what he does to him. He was also asking them to certify, do you think I'm good enough to teach? Yes, I'm good enough to teach. So he got confirmation from scholars. Teach. Spread that knowledge you have. It's one thing he had to do now. It was reported that Imam Malik said, before I began to teach people, over 70 among the scholars of Medina said, Malik, I have begin to teach now. Malik, begin to teach now. Malik, begin to teach now. It happens like that when you go visiting scholars. So they ask you, are you teaching? After they see your level of knowledge, they start asking, are you teaching? You say, start teaching now. So they would have recognized that you now have the level of knowledge to be able to teach. From amongst the things that have happened in our own times that we have heard about was one of our brothers. He was there. He met one of the scholars in the north, and after the discussion, he said, are you teaching? They said, please go and start teaching. If you don't teach, it is haram for you. Go and start teaching. Scholars will compel you to teach. Maybe it will bring benefits. I was learning Bulughul Maram from one of the teachers. So later on, he started asking me. The second day, he said, are you teaching? I said, they said, no, you should have started teaching mine. At that time. So ulama, when they talk to you, they say, you're supposed to start teaching. Because the teaching itself is a means of learning. And Imam Muslim mentioned it in the Muqaddimah of Islam. When you teach, you learn. When you teach, you learn. When you teach, you learn. So if they see that you got what is required, basically, then they start to please go and start teaching. So if Nabi Zayd al-Qayrawani when he was meeting scholars, we were telling him to teach. Before we started reading Al-Adab al-Mufrad, one of our teachers said, go and teach Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And don't teach it with a professor. قال رسول الله نو ريد الحديث حدثنا 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 الى رسول الله عليه السلام These days we become the teachers by ourselves. We are not told to teach. So our salaf used to be told to teach, then they teach. Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani ma'liyan bilqai al-shuyukh wal-akhdhi anhum wa istijazatihim. He was seeking and gaining their confirmation to teach. Ghadban wa shaqqan. Both in the north, the western side, Ghadban, western part of their area, their region, and likewise in the eastern part of the region where they lived. سيما في رحلته الحجازية لأداء فريضة حج بيت الله الحرام. One of the times he did that, a lot of meeting the scholars and getting confirmation from them to teach was when he went for Hajj. It is usually a time you know who you are. Hajj. If Allah grants you the tawfiq to meet ulama, Allah. And from the way of the Salaf is that when they sit in the masjid, they beg Allah, Allah grant me the least of salih. Let me sit by someone who will be pious in this masjid. In Masjid Nabawi, there are a lot of narrations regarding this. So you gain the pleasure of Allah, that Allah grant you someone who will sit near you, or that you will sit near him, and then he's the person of knowledge. Start asking you about knowledge and start benefiting you from knowledge. That's what happens a lot in Makkah. So when Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani made Adabu Faridat al-Hajj Baytillah al-Haram, he was able to meet a lot of scholars at the time. When he had that, he was also able to express himself as a learned. الشيخ بكر سيد ولهذا احتوشه الطلاب. The students gathered around. He made Hajj, he was benefiting from scholars. Scholars said, are you too? You are not. The scholars sit down here and teach. احتوشه الطلاب. So the students began to gather around him. وكثر عنه الآخذون. And Allah granted him a lot of people benefiting from his knowledge. In Makkah, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayr. Rahimahullah. وَصَارَ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ وَتَعْلِيمُ. It became that طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ, learning, وَتَعْلِيمُ, and teaching, صَنْعَةُ, became his job. He didn't have any other job than learning and teaching. One of the scholars who passed away earlier was talked about. Let me mention the name of the two of them. When Shaykh Muhammad Awal Adam Al-Albani died, I read the Rasa'u, the expression of grief and show the personality and dua for the person who had passed away that was written by Shaykh Ali Hassan Al-Hamid Al-Halabi regarding Shaykh Muhammad Awal Adam Al-Albani. We understand. And one of the things he mentioned was that كَانَ مُشْتَغِلًا مُتَفَرِّقًا بِالْعِلْمِ أَوْ لِلْعِلْمِ He was busy with knowledge and safari. He has no idea. Jullu hamu ilm. All his attention, knowledge. And wallahi, that was how he was. Now the two of them have died. Rahimahumallah. I used to see the two of them together a lot. May Allah forgive the two of them. So when you go for Hajj, Allah blesses you to make it. And then Ibn Abi Zayd became a fakir. Sara talabul ilmi wa ta'limuhu sanatu. His job became talabul ilmi wa ta'limuhu. Talabul ilmi. Seeking, learning and teaching. Learning. If you are a true teacher, you cannot stop learning. True teachers never stop learning. Wallahi. True teachers, they never stop learning. So it happens that the more they teach, the more they learn. For a good teacher, the more you teach, the more you learn. The more you perfect that science that you teach. So Sheikh Kafi said, "Wasara talabul ilmi wa ta'limuhu sun'atuhu." So his job became learning and teaching. "Wa tadrisuhu hirfatuhu." So his teaching the people became hirfatuhu. He doesn't know any other thing than teach. That's really good. One of our teachers, if you visit him, Kidabullah is still alive. Once you mention your name, where you have come from, he will ask you what is the issue of knowledge we should talk about. If you don't have any issue of knowledge, can you go now? Just want us to know ourselves. Can you know now? So there is no vision. I just came to know you, to know who you are. The next thing will be, oh, check so bad. So no diva. If you don't have anything about knowledge to mention, go. So after introducing, how are you? How is it? You are from where? You are this. Everybody introduces themselves. You now have to be sure you have something you want to mention regarding knowledge. Say la have issue. Say no. Abu Rahman, have you brought one good thing to us? You know what is the good thing they are talking about? One issue of knowledge that you talk about. Or research. Or life like that. Once the Shaykh cannot give you an answer, so I left to search it. You can be there till 1 a.m. This one happened to me many times. Allahu A'lam. You don't have issues, go. You have issues, bismillah, let's research it. But today, when students meet teachers and teachers meet students, it is deeper. When you want to kill a baller, kill a to occupy their time. The time that the least of what they can do with this is tilawa to Quran. They talk, give up by fighting, slandering, in the name of talking about doubt. No, if there's no issue of knowledge, go. If you make your relationship with students like this, everybody will be respecting himself or herself. If it is talk about knowledge, bismillah. No talk about knowledge, go. If you come to do ziyara, let's know ourselves. After ziyara, teacher, if there is something in knowledge, no, go in. So you allow the man to spend his time, you also go and spend your own time. Useful. So his own day that hirfat, what he got busy at all times was what? The least. Teaching the people what tolerant him and seeking for knowledge. So it happened that very eminent scholar would go and sit down in the learning circles of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Kibar. And it was something that was common in the earlier times. Al-Imam al-Shafi, will you be surprised that people like Al-Imam al-Hakim Ibrahim, will be going to attend Halqa al-Shafi? In the past, Learned people, we are not shy to attend the learning circle of another learned person. Because if you attend in a learning circle, all the 10 of you are not the same. Each person will pick his own way. And for sometimes, for you, it is just one statement you pick from that house to add to your own. Sometimes you may not pick anymore. You are just looking at how the sheikh conducts his gathering, how he comports himself, how he talks, how he presents himself. And Imam Ahmad ibn Salih, one of the a'imma of this, came to Imam Ahmad because of this. He just wants to see him. How does he behave? How does Imam Ahmad behave? Another Imam traveled to come and see him. How does he conduct his majalis? How does he relate to his students? And he was there for about 6 or 7 years before he returned to this. And the day he was returning, till the day he was returning, he said, there was nothing Imam Ahmad mentioned that I did not know. Did you hear? Ahmad did not say anything that I didn't know. Unless one hadith, on the day that he will leave, and that hadith, he knew it, but he did not know it that there is a ziyada regarding that. That is the ziyada in knowledge. All of that were about adab, manner, watching him, how he related, how he ate food, how he dressed, how he prayed for midnight, how I just want to see. But these days, even cigar don't want to attend guidance of marriage. Not to talk of kiba. Yallah forgive all of you. Bashayid Adam Sawun Kiba, very eminent scholars would sit in this garden. But the Kharraja Bihit Akra, even his name, learned from him and perfected knowledge from him. He graduated in his hand. The Kharraja Bihit Akra, his name, Kiba, eminent came. Even his mate came. It's one of the things you'll also see with me. They were not shy to receive knowledge from their mates. So these days, even the one that is bigger than you, you don't want to take from him. وَأَلْحَقُ الْأَحْفَادَ بِالْأَجْدَادِ He connected grandchildren, أحفاد, بِالْأَجْدَادِ with the grandparents. Meaning that because there are elderly people in the garden and children too, so it is a connection of al-ahfad il-ajdad, connecting grandchildren to al-kibar, the elder ones, or that. Another meaning of that could be that he was connecting the bigger scholars who had died. Just as we mentioned now, say, oh, Sheikh Al-Hal, oh, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam. Muhammad al-Awwal, Al-Bani, he said this, he did it. Those are elderly. Some people don't be getting it. He said that's one shame. He's called Al-Bani twice in Nigeria. I don't know him. Why would you start telling them now? They now know it. These are young boys. So they now know those ones. We are the ones connecting between the young ones and the elder ones. I hope it is clear. So they said regarding Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, Al-Haq al-Ahfada bil-Ajdad. He connected Ahfad, his two grandchildren, bil-Ajdad. He connected them with grandparents, either in the gathering or in the way of relating knowledge from the elders in the past to those who are younger now in our time. I hope that is clear. Here I like to say what Al-Imam al-Bahabi said, Rahimahullah, because of the place that it occurred. He was a great teacher, Abi Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani. Call al-Imam al-Zahabi. This one is not in the Tahqiq of Sheikh Bakr. You will see it in Sirah al-Abid al-Qayrawani. Sorry. There is no how that book is. Me, I don't suffice with one book. Sorry. This statement was from al-Imam al-Zahabi. It says, Kana ma'a ibn Masri. Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, Ma'a al-Zawad, as deep, as eminent as he was, bil-ilmi wal-amal, regarding his knowledge and regarding practicing and bringing knowledge into practice. The barikana, the barik, ma ilmihi aw ma azamatihi fil ilmi wal amal, kana the barik, he was a person of benevolence. Ullawa, rahimahullah, wa isa. In fact, sometimes he don't give preference to his students over himself. He was always standing upon the students. Ibn Abi Zayd al Qayrawan, he would spend money for the students. You think? What do you think? One of those that I have heard who used to do that was Al Imam Abu Hanif. He used to spend on his students. Abu Hanifa, he used to spend on his students. Another person who did that was Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He used to spend on his students. And in our own time, two very eminent people did that. The first one was Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Abbas. Allah, many of the students that I have met, they will tell me, man, you spend on it. You need something to take. You need something to take. One of us just shared some news with Nameen al-Zuhairi. We're in Medina with him. He was going out one day. So I went with him at that part. Myself and him were in his car. You know Crown? You know Crown? Toyota Crown? It's an old car, Crown. You know Crown? Old, big American car like this, Crown, was the car he was riding. So after he bought what he wanted, they know our teacher used to spend on us when we were with them. So tell me what you want to mean, Allah, Sheikh, he dragged my hand to a place where they are selling phones. The time phones were just coming out. You know Nokia, that's lighting Nokia. Maybe some of the brothers, Abu Sakina knows what I'm saying. He saw that for white. I used one white sliding Nokia. Old, like this. So Sheikh Samir, who was it? They say that our teachers used to spend. So that's what I'm saying. One of those who used to do that was Al Imam Ibn Abi Zayd. Why is it that when we mention in the past, they used to do something? We will not say today to someone did it. Why? So that we will not think that nobody is doing that one again. People are doing it. They are who will now do that thing. We have heard somebody in our own times who did it past. You have heard somebody in the past who did it. So do it. Don't be the one who will wait to receive from your students. Spend on them. Respect yourself. Spend on them. And spending is not small. Even if it is one naira, spend on them. During one hajj, we are coming from Medina to Makkah. We stopped by somewhere. Everybody was buying gold. You know those stoppages. So I bought 1 riyal of 7 up for one brother. 1 riyal. So I took 7 up in cash. 1 riyal. So I said, take. He said, did you buy it for me or you just thought you want to give? I said, I bought it to give you. He just hugged me. I said, why? Said he can't remember when last somebody gave him something. People are always taking from. They don't give. So 1 riyal of 7 up. Allah. 1 riyal of 7 up. 1 riyal. So your small son of Peter is small now. People like the Mufti. What will you give them that? They are big people. Mufti, Diyar, Oshogo. It will matter. That's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La tahqiru min al-ma'rufi shay'a. Don't underrate anything from goodness. Do the goodness. Don't say this one is small. Do it. So teacher, give your students something. Sometimes cook food for them, come and eat. Sometimes see something I thought that you would like it to take. And this thing is good for you. You will not know the value now. العواصم من القواصم في تحقيق مواقف الصحابة بعد وفاة الرسول by who? قاضي إياد الإمام ابن العربي. You know his name? محمد بن عبد الله ابن العربي المالكي. His name is محمد بن عبد الله المالكي. He is the one who wrote Al-Awasim in Al-Qawas. The day Brother Gibri, I was giving it to me, I was an undergraduate, I was just completed. He said, keep this book. When you, Allah gives you good enough knowledge, if you read it, you will pray for me. Wallahi, each time I read that book, I pray for that. I pray for it. So I now thought that I will do that to somebody too. And I did it. I gave it to one brother. I said, what is it? The day you get more knowledge of Allah, you read it. When I said it, I now remember the one when I was giving to you. There is a book, Al-Awasim min al-Kawasim, fi tahqiq mawaqif al-Sahaba, ba'da wafat al-Rasul, by Imam Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Very, very good book about the fitan that happened after the Prophet died, sallallahu, amongst the companions. He was explaining it. Very good book on this issue of companions and the fitna that happened after the Prophet passed away. The point here is that Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Al-Qayrawan kana ma'a azamatihi bil-ilmi wal-amal. Despite his bigness, his eminence upon knowledge and good deeds, kana zabari, he was a very benevolent person. He preferred his students to himself. He was also always spending Allah salam upon his students. He was always making good to them. So he gave it to him. My last trip to Cairo, our Sheikh still gave me one jalabiya. It was cold, I was shivering. You see these clothes you are wearing, Ikhwa? There are places if you wear it, you will think that it's a singlet. You know the way singlet is so light. Because of cold. And Alexandria is just close to the Mediterranean. So in Alexandria, I was shivering. Sheikh said, don't worry. We solve that problem when we get to. He gave me one jalabiya. The jalabiya is like a suit. I still wore it recently. I still have it. So anytime there is cold, if you wear it, you feel comfortable. You feel hot. It will be hot on you. The Shakespeare will say, wear this one. So I wore it happily until we came back to Nigeria. So that was last January 2020. So the ulama, they are used to giving their students. They are not people who just sit down and wait for students. Well, give me. Umamwa. You are not. From the issues we like to mention about Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan, Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Zayd said, وَقَدْ بَلَغَتْ مُؤَلَّفَاتُ نَحْوَ أَرْبَعِينَ مُؤَلَّفَةً بَلَغَتْ مُؤَلَّفَاتُ نَحْوَ أَرْبَعِينَ مُؤَلَّفَةً فِي التَّفْسِيرِ وَالْحَدِيثِ وَالْفِقْهِ والرد على المخالفين. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah says, Balagat mu'allafat. His books that he authored, they were up to 40. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan, he lived for 76 years. He was born in 310. He died in 3, what would that be? 86. He was born in 310. He died 3, what? How many years is that? 76, I mean. He lived for 76. Add 76 to 310. That would be 86. He died 386. Rahimahullah. He wrote 40 books. 40. And the Imam al-Zahabi said that this book we are reading, Ar-Risala, he wrote it when he was 17 years old. 17, he wrote it. We are reading it. Herod didn't go when he was 17 years old. Imam al-Zahabi said, Dukira annahu sannafar risala. He compiled this book of risala when he was 17 years old. That's because we hear what it's not in this book. So his book got up to 4 pages of seal. Some of them were upon things related to Quran, explaining the Quran. So he has Kitab, he has Tafsir. He also has Ijaz al-Quran, a miracle of the Quran. He wrote the word Ijaz al-Quran. The things of wonder regarding the Quran. Things that when you read the Quran, you wonder, look at it. He wrote that. He also has a book, Asikatu Billah. Watawakkulu ala Allah. Asikatu Billah. Trusting in Allah. Watawakkulu ala Allah. Relying on Him. He wrote a book on that. Rahimahullah. And he also wrote a book, An-Nahyu anil Jidal. The prohibition of deen argumentation. Argument. An-Nahyu anil Jidal. Don't be an argumentation. Argue. And your mafia issue anyhow. The basic rule about Jidal is what? An-Nahyu. Wala Jidalu. Ahlal Kitab. Basic rule about Jidal. No. Allahu Akbar. We shall come back to these issues on Jidal in this book before he wrote it up on the issues of Aqidah. Come back to it. So Sheikh Bakr said, وَقَدْ بَلَغَتْ مُؤَلَّفَاتُهُ نَحْوَ 40 مُؤَلَّفَةً فِي التَّفْسِيرِ وَالْحَدِيثِ وَالْفِقْهِ. He also wrote books on tafsir, books on hadith, books on fiqh. From the books he wrote on fiqh is Mukhtasar al-Mudawwana. He has Mukhtasar of what? Al-Mudawwana. Do you know Al-Mudawwana? The fatwa of Al-Imam Malik was compiled in Egypt. So there are different Mudawwana. Many scholars wrote Al-Mudawwana from amongst the students of Malik. So he, the most popular one, the one that came from Imam Sufi. I think it was the one that Nabi Zayd made a Mukhtasar. That one. The ulama were used to doing that. They would study a book so much that they do a Mukhtasar. One of the scholars said the Mukhtasar of Tafsir ibn Kathir were more than 50. Tafsir ibn Kathir. Every person who read that, if you study Tafsir ibn Kathir, you do Mukhtasar. Al-Imam al-Tujaymi, he did Mukhtasar of Tafsir al-Tabari. I have it in 2 volumes. Tafsir al-Tabari is 18 big volumes. 18 big volumes. Someone will study it in Mukhtasar. We are not studying anything. Don't want to say Mukhtasar. Then you can't manage Mukhtasar. Somebody did Mukhtasar of Fathul Bari. It's in 4 volumes. I saw it. Which one are we doing? We are just we have to sit down to learn, pay attention to knowledge. Then you'll be able to benefit others from it. Allah make knowledge beneficial to us. وَكَانَ أَوَّلَ مُؤَلَّفَاتِهِ الرِّسَالَةُ. First book he wrote is this book. He said he wrote 40 books, go up to 40. The first of this book is the one you are reading. It means from a very early age he was learning. 17. Ya Ibrahim. Ibrahim was 17 when he wrote it. All of you must be preparing to start writing books soon. All the children. Some of you are already making efforts. A young boy told me yesterday that he compiled a book of hadith, 40 haditha, fil adab wa hukuki bayna zawjayn, fil adab wa hukuki bayna zawjayn, husband and wife. He compiled 40 hadith on the rights of a man and his wife and the manners that a man and a woman should be relating themselves. 40 hadith on that. So it's like saying when a woman wants to marry or a man wants to marry, he should learn or she should learn this what this is. It will teach him what to do inside marriage. A young boy, he has finished it. I heard the book, but I said, read the book, but give it to me. Is that because Allah has made marriage lawful? So he cited the verse in the Quran. That Allah made wa ankihu al-ayyama wa salih wa salihin ibadah wa imani. So this is the verse Allah says marriage. But when we say we should marry, the Prophet taught us sunnah on the right of that marriage, not just marriage. Inside marriage, there are rights. And so I like to compile 40 hadiths about the hukuk and adab, the rights and manners. Young boy, just 13 now. 40 hadiths on the rights of marriage. You must start from somewhere. Very. Risala was written, he was 17 years old. Although when children go, when they grow older, they see this kind of work, they still have, don't they? Perhaps they will adjust them, get them. So may Allah make knowledge beneficial to all of us. So we must start thinking about writing books upon the sunnah. And nobody can write a book except somebody who has learned. If you don't learn, you can't write a book. If you don't learn, you can't write a book. How would you write a book without learning? So it means that at 17 he was already a scholar. Rahimahullah, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawa. 17 he was already a learned person. Sheikh Bakr said, وَقَدْ كَتَبَهَا إِسْتِجَابَةً لِرَغْبَةِ بَلَدِهِ مُؤَدِّبِ الصِّدْيَ كَتَبَهَا إِبْنِ أَبِي زَيْدٍ wrote a risala إِسْتِجَابَةً by answering. He was requested to write it after the war. So he was a 70-year-old boy was consulted by Mu'adjib al-Balaji. Mu'adjib is the old person teaching children manners of Islam. We don't have that one again. An elderly person who will sit down with children, teaching them, Allah likes this one, Allah does not like this one, Allah likes this one, Allah does not like this one, Allah likes this one is good, do like this, this one is not good, don't do like this. Oh, you stop that, think it right. Elderly person, he's very elderly, he will sit down among children and be telling them things. They refer to them as mu'ajibu, people who teach children what, adab, manner, how to behave. We don't have that one again. We want to take our children to school where they spend 1.5 million per text. That's all. You know the school my child is going to. That does not make your child anything. It is the content that is there. This really is benefiting as far as this being is concerned. May Allah protect all of us. Make all our children beneficial children to themselves and to the rest of us. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawi, katabaha, he wrote a risala, istijabatan li rabbati baladihi mu'adjib al-Sibya, by way of responding and answering to the request of baladihi, a scholar from among the scholars of his town, mu'adjib al-Sibya, who was the person teaching children manners, wa mu'adjibihim al-Qur'an, mu'adjibihim. Is also a teacher of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. He teaches them Quran and manners. A woman told me yesterday, said, Abu Nasir, I said, nah, children are learning Quran, but their manners are bad. Oh. I said, hold their teachers responsible. Hold their teachers responsible. The teachers should not only teach Quran, it's not just that. They will be teaching the children manners, dress like this, wear your cap like this, don't talk like this, talk like this, be calm, be seated, be nice, be truthful, be honest. They'll be teaching them. The woman was shouting like a save our soul, S-O-S. She says, I can't understand again. I say understand. That's why the two daughters of Sheikh Al-Albani who wrote the book on Tahfiz al-Quran in three volumes, Sakina and Sukaina and Karimako, the two daughters of Imam al-Albani, they wrote the book in three volumes on how you teach children how to memorize the Quran. One of the things they said was that when you read the Quran, tell them something about where they are memorizing. When the mother of Musa alayhi salam told the mother in Al-Qasas, they placed Musa in and then placed the box on the seat. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Ikhwan, did you hear what Allah asked the mother of Musa to do? Place a young boy, a toddler, a boy who was just born now. Place this boy in the box. If you are the one, what will you say? Yeah, what kind of command is that? You want me to kill my son? Not just that you place him in the box, place that box on the sea. Allah says, Inna radduhu ilayki. We shall return Musa to you. And we shall make Musa from amongst our Rusul. Some women, if they hear this, if it is the women of our times, I tell you, they will not do it. Which can return to them? Women who find it difficult to place children in madras. Many women find it difficult. Many men say, I want to bring my son to madras, but their children, their mother say no. The mother of Musa placed Musa on the box. The box will be placed where? On the sea. And Allah says, Inna radduhu ilayki wa ja'ilu. We shall return Musa to you. And she obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the essence of that message to the Prophet Muhammad? Alayhi salatu wa salam. Because in the end of Qasas, Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad, Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'an, the mother, la radduka ila ma. The one who has sent down Qur'an to you will return you to Madinah, to Mecca. He will return you to where your background is. What is the connection? The way I return Musa to his mother, despite all odds, I will return you to Mecca. So don't worry, Muhammad. Because the day the messenger was going out of Mecca, he says, Ya Mecca, anti ahabul bilad ilayya. Lawla anna qawmaki akhrajuni minki ma akhrajtu minki. Oh Mecca, I love you so much. I love you more than every place on earth. If not that your people send me out, I will not go out. He didn't like it. Like the mother of Musa was, hey, my son. But Allah says, I should put it. So, Inna radduhu ilayka, we shall return Musa to his mother. So he assured Muhammad, Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'an, the one who has sent you the Quran, radduka ilayka, he will return you to where you were before. Did he return him or not? He returned him. Now, the essence of that is that when you obey Allah, Allah will fulfill his promise to you. When you obey Allah, you will obey this promise. If you don't obey him, then you can do what you like. If you want the promise of Allah, obey him. Teach children these kinds of things. If you are teaching them courses, let them know, be able to connect what they are doing to their daily life. If you don't teach them like that, they will just read it for Quranic competition. The woman said, one boy was asked, why are you learning the Quran? So that I'll be able to teach the Quran. They'll be paying me fast salaries in Lagos. The woman said so. Maybe she's hearing me as I'm speaking. She said, she asked another, hey, why are you memorizing the Quran? I can win Quranic competition. They have taught us to become like that. We learn Quran because of Quranic competition. So those who teach children Quran must teach them to be able to imbibe the lessons of the Quran in themselves. But unfortunately, most of those who teach the Quran, they just teach it for the money of it. Let's not be like that. The Allah will protect everyone. So the one who was teaching the people the Quran in the time of Ibn al-Zayd al-Qayyim, he was the one who asked the Imam Abdullah ibn al-Rahman al-Qayyim. He asked him to write a book that we can use to teach children. So Ar-Risala was written to teach children. This book Ar-Risala was written to teach the children. And Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani himself, he mentioned it if you go to the 53rd page. In the Muqaddimah, for your own, go to check your Muqaddimah. It says Amma Ba'd. Just go to Amma Ba'd. You will see that Ibn Abi Zayd was asked to write this. It says Amma Ba'd Rahimahullah. It says Amma Ba'd. A'alan Allahu wa Iyyak. Go. Alari ayati wa da'ihi. وحفظ ما أودعنا من شرائه فإنك سألتني you asked me, you requested me أن أكتب لك جملة مختصرة to write a small, concise, summarized book من واجب أمور الديانة from the compulsory things in the matters of the religion مما يزدك به الألسنة from the things that the mouth should say, what that the mind should believe, what he has mentioned in Marco, matter to kubihi al alsina, what are the kiduhu al kulu, what amaluhu al jawari, that's iman. Go! Wama yastaqim bil wajib min zalik, and the things, other things that are connected to obligations, he has talked about the akida, that's the muqaddimah, the first book. But the point of reference is that for Ibn Kasa al-Tani, you are the one who requested me to. This is the point we want to observe. That Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani was asked to write this book, Ar-Risala. And indeed, he wrote the book. Rahimahullah. Ar-Risala, there are a lot of shuruq of Ar-Risala. A lot of shelf of Ar-Risala. Sheikh Bakr said, there are up to 30 books of Sharh. 30. Sharh al-Risalah. And it was mentioned that the first person who did a Sharh or a Risalah was Tali Abdul Wahhab ibn Nasr al-Maliki. Awwal Sharh laha. That will be in page 9 of your book. Check page 9. أول شارح لها وكان أول May Allah make it beneficial to us. I think we have a general understanding of this Imam and this book that he has written. Rahimahullah. Inshallah, we'll start with our reading in the next class. Qala Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn al-Zayd al-Qayrawani radiyallahu anhu. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ibtada al-insana min al-majd wa sawwarahu fi al-arham bi-hikmatihi. وأبرزه إلى رزقه وما يسره له من رزقه وعلمه ما لم يكن يعلمه وكان فضل الله عليه عظيما ونبهه بآثار صنعته وأعذر إليه على ألسنة المرسلين الخيرة من خلقه فهدى من وصفه بقدره وأضله بعجله ويسر المؤمنين لليسرى وشارح صدورهم للذكرى فآمنوا بالله بألسنتهم ناطقين وبقلوبهم مخلصين وبما أتتهم به رسله وكتبه عاملين وتعلموا ما علمه ووقفوا عندما حد له واستغنوا بما أحل له عما حرم عليه. That was his mukaddimah. Amma ba'd. And then he continued. Very interesting book to read. Even the Arabic is clean, sweet. Rahimahullah. Bismillah, we'll continue with this mukaddimah in our next class next week. Bismillah. If we have a few questions, we can address them today. Alex, salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now. What's your question? What's your question? Too much of research. What do you mean by too much of research? Regarding research. You remind us where Allah is. What? Allah is. Oh gosh. What's the way? Allah is. Allah is above his arsh. You know where Allah is. Above his arsh. He told us. Ar-Rahman al-Arsh. Or you want to research. You want to go and see whether it is true that the Prophet Muhammad was buried in Medina. Yes, it is true. But you cannot reach that one. Because once you hit your shovel against that ground, police will arrest you. With research. Well, if I try to understand the question, he's asking, does over research bring harm to the individual? You know, the answer can be right, can be wrong. What do you mean by over research? If it is research regarding areas that the Sharia has permitted us to research, yes. It will never bring harm to you. If it is regarding issues that the Sharia has not permitted us to research, then that is harm. Like asking, Allah says, Yadullah is by you. How is the Yad of Allah? Tell me. Somebody says he wants to research how the Yad of Allah is. That research will end in Dalala, misguidance. You see now? But I want to research. What was, how long did Al-Imam al-Bukhari travel when he traveled to Lead? For how long did he travel? How did he become Bukhari? I want to research. Oh, I want to research. What is the correct thing? On the day of Juma, if a man had something to do with his family and he became ritually impure, does he need two ghusl on that day or one? Does he need two ghusl or one? He needs two. He needs two. What is the proof? Yeah? The saying of the Prophet that if you meet your family, oh, ghusl Jum'ah, wajibun ala kulli muslim. That's half. This is the proof of those who say that if you bump one time, it is sufficient. He wants to use it for two. That is the mazhab of the Jumhur. The Jumhur say if you bump one, it's enough. Because they say, Ghuslu al Juma. That is the Ghuslu you have on the day of Juma. And once you have Ghuslu, you have had Ghuslu. If you have one, that is Ghuslu on Yom Juma. Ghuslu Yom Juma. Any Ghuslu. On the day of Juma, wajibun ala kulli muslim. So if you meet your family and you have that one ghusl, you know, that is the evidence. We are using it to think that two ghusl. You have not given me evidence. See now, so you can help us to do that research. That's why we bring the inshallah. Once you know where to check, now, let me answer that question because before it becomes another problem, maybe when you go with your research, you should have two ghusl. The companion Abu Bakr al-Ansari, the Imam Ibn Abi Shayba, and Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar mentioned it in Al-Bukhari, the Isnad al-Sahih. His son, the son of Abu Bakr al-Ansari, had a ghusl. His father asked him, "What ghusl is that?" "This is ghusl janaba." He said, "Go and make another one for ghusl janaba." Abu Bakr al-Ansari, his son made ghusl. He asked him, "What have you done?" He said, "Because of janaba. Go back and make another one for ghusl." You see, this makes two ghusl. That is aqua ma'in. There are other things, but I think this is clear, truthful regarding on this issue of the Suryam. Somebody is busy research on it. Let me start research. Now, you can't do it. If it works in the person, it does two things at the same time. There are some among the scholars who say that it's lawful. But what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innama al-amal bi-niyyah. So every deed has its own intention. So ghusl Jumu'ah is intention of this. Ghusl Janabah is intention. That action of that companion makes us understand that that is what it should be. The research will tell us what. You must research because I'll be asking you. Don't think that I'll forget you. Ask him for you. I can leave you for 2 years. Yeah? Do you need to seek permission to perform jihad from any one of your parents? Yes, ulama says from the shurut of jihad, it's the izan al-walidain, seek permission from your parents, jihad. But that is al-jihad that is not from fardul ayn. You know, jihad has two rules, the one that's fardul kifayah and the one that is what? Fardul ayn. Fardul kifayah. We are living here, no threat. We want to go and fight someone. The Ummah of Islam wants to fight with another Ummah of non-Muslims. You are there is no threat now. We just want to go preach Islam to them and but prepare in case they attack us, they attack the Muslims. You are this one you must take permission before you go. If it were that non-Muslims attack the city of Islam, you just woke up and started hearing good. This one you don't need permission. Everybody starts. The second condition where you don't need permission is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is that to fail to fail? When you are told, go for the jihad, you must go. So if Amir says you must go, Amir, I need the president of the country or the governor, I will take him. Say, hey, you go. You are. So if jihad is fardul ayn, the Iqdan is not giving permission. But if it is from the fire, you must go and obtain the permission. It's clear. It's clear. Okay, not you. Who asked this question? I hope that it's clear. Then what is the ruling of semen? Is this impurity or not? The semen is not an impurity. The semen is pure. The human semen is pure. We had discussed this when we are discussing people in the theory. There is no evidence to say that the semen is an impurity. If someone shows kindness to you, and you cannot stop to say the bad thing of parent or person, and you do not have a good to give the person, what will you do? Will you never see the person again? You cannot talk to say the last thing. You cannot pray for him. You can pray for him and go out his day. Behind him, you can pray for him. behind him, you can mention him to people. Ah, this person did one of the things to the vegetables. It's very nice. Please pray for him. I hope that the baby boy was born, but his akika was not slaughtered, it was postponed. After 2 months, the baby boy died. What is the rule? You must slaughter the akika because he had lived. He was due for it to slaughter it so that he'd be free from Abraham. That locker. Is it halal to have a slave and sell her? Yes. It's one of our younger children. It's allowed to have a slave and sell it. Is it compulsory to pass bushes for Juma? Yes, it is compulsory. On the day of Juma, when you are coming to the masjid for Juma, it is compulsory to have a bushes for Juma. And that bushes is connected to the salah. When you are coming to the masjid, that is the matter of Al Imam Umayyad. Is this statement right to be believed and proclaimed by humanity is above religion? It's not the meaning of religion. Humanity is above religion. What is the meaning of humanity? Did Allah create you for humanity? What is the meaning of humanity is above religion? It's a null and void statement. Did Allah create you for humanity? Or Allah create you to serve him? These days, people are just talking. One grammar just like the grammar, we just connect with that. They think that it's reason. Humanity is above religion. What's the meaning? What's the meaning of humanity is above religion? What does it mean? Huh? Humanity is above religion. What does humanity mean? And what is religion? Servitude to Allah. What was I created for? I was created for humanity. People should be reasonable now when they are saying statements. And this statement can be made by a professor. Being a professor does not mean that you are a reasonable person. That one is not an arguable fact. Humanity is above religion. What's the meaning of humanity? What does it mean? You explain it. You who said it, explain what you mean. Perhaps when you explain what you mean, the folly in your statement to declare to you. Humanity is above religion. The Allah protects us. So one of the ways to be brought to this kind of statement is to ignore it. Every reasonable person we understand that it's a null and void. I think it should be sufficient for us to stop that. SubhanAllah. It has been Muslim.
Audrey with you.